Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse number 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. And the Bible says this: "And it came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." We're going to use that scripture to help us with tonight's topic, but let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, please control my mind. I pray, Lord, that you'd control my voice. God, help us to listen with your Spirit's guidance. May our ears be surrendered to you. May our eyes, may our minds concentrate on the subject of tonight. Dear God, help somebody to succeed more tomorrow than they did today because they came to church tonight and heard a truth from the Bible, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. The subject of tonight's sermon is this: growing your concentration. Growing your concentration. You know, I know some very good people that do not have what I would call good success, and I think a little bit has to do with the fact that they don't concentrate on what they're doing. Growing your concentration. The passage of Scripture that we just read, I'm going to review a little bit. Jesus had came to Nazareth. He went to church, and the Bible says, as was his custom, which meant when Jesus went into town, he went to church. And that's a good custom. It's a good habit to form. When he got to the synagogue, they handed him the book of Isaiah to read out loud to the people. And he read it. He read to them Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1 and 2. And that's that passage of Scripture that read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," etc. That's Isaiah 62, 1 and 2. So Jesus has a group of people. They're in church, if you will. And he reads that passage of Scripture to them. The Bible says he closed the Bible. He handed it back to the minister. Jesus went and sat down. And then, if you still have your Bible open there, look at Luke chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down." And this is the part that I want you to see. "And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." They were concentrating. On what? On Jesus. They were concentrating on Jesus. Their eyes were locked in to Jesus. Their minds were locked on him. Folks, you're not going to grow in any area of life if you don't learn to concentrate. You've got to learn to concentrate. When orange juice is concentrated, it means it's not diluted. When you mentally concentrate, it means that your attention is not diluted. It's not watered down. It's not parted out. This is laundry detergent. It's called All, and it's concentrated. It's not diluted. It's full force. And I like the word All. It just happens to be there too. Folks, there are a lot of people out there that have a hard time giving something their mental all. And you're going to fail until you learn to concentrate. You've got to stop diluting your attention and lock in on the task at hand so it's done right and so that you may succeed. You're not going to grow until you master getting your mind to concentrate. stay with me, a very simple sermon, but so necessary if you want to grow in life. First of all, I'll answer the question, what is concentration? Concentration is to aim your mind and keep it on target. I have a rifle that I use, and it's a 260, and it's got a nice scope on it. And I like to put that scope, those crosshairs, right on the center of my target. Now, I look at it, I lock into it. I don't move to the right or to the left. And that's what concentration is. Concentration is aiming your mind and keeping it on the bullseye. You say, well, preacher, what's a bullseye? The task at hand. It's whatever you're doing, it deserves your concentration. What is concentration? It's exclusive attention. What is concentration? It's applying yourself mentally. You apply yourself to what you're doing. I don't know who you are in this room. If anybody's ever told you that you're dumb or you're stupid, that's not true. But I'll tell you what a lot of people do. They don't concentrate. So you look dumb. You might look stupid, but you're not. It's a matter of, will you mentally lock in? Will you concentrate? Will you give your all mentally to that which lies before you? And people that can do that succeed in that area. Or you say, well, I didn't mean they're going to be the best at it. I didn't say anything about being the best at it. I'm talking about you succeeding at the task, getting the job done. What is concentration? It's probably the purity of your mental focus. What is concentration? It's causing your senses to combine their efforts on a specific cause or purpose. Part of concentration is not just my eyes. If I wanted to concentrate on Brother Edwards, my eyes could concentrate. My mind could concentrate. My ears could concentrate on what he says so I can look at him. I can hear him. I can think. And I can smell him. Which causes me not to want to concentrate on him anymore. But concentration is the focus of all the senses in an effort to lock on the target to accomplish a purpose. What is concentration? It's directing your mental energy. What is concentration? I like this one. It's real simple. I just think concentration is mental character. It's mental character. Now, folks, you're not going to grow unless you learn to concentrate. I promise you. Parents everywhere, they when they're rearing the little ones or the teenagers, they're saying, think! What do they mean when they say, think? They're saying, concentrate. Think about what you're doing. Bosses everywhere just want the employee to concentrate. Listen to me as it even gets more practical and more simple in its teaching tonight. So the first thing I wanted to bring out is I wanted to define concentration. Number two, we have a weakness. We don't concentrate when we listen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 1, a portion of the verse says, be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. God's saying, get ready to hear. Now, if you're going to concentrate, you're going to have to use your ears. You're going to have to listen. Can I warn you of something? If someone stands and teaches or preaches such a practical, simple, down-to-earth, and highly necessary lesson to you, but you won't listen, you don't stand a real big chance of succeeding in your Christian life. I mean, believe it or not, this is a simple, simple subject. But anybody sitting here would say, this is a very important subject. Boy, this needs to be said. And we do. People hear about, I don't know if this is even true, this might be too high of a percentage, they hear about half of what you say. About half of what you say. A good leader finds themselves repeating themselves frequently. Now, you could, as a leader, you could get disgusted and say, well, I said it once, I'm not going to say it again. Then get ready for a lot of failure. I repeat myself, not because I didn't say it the first time. It's because somebody didn't listen the first time. Repetition is one of the keys to learning. It shouldn't have to be, but it definitely is. So we don't concentrate when we listen. Do you know that the Holy Spirit has to work overtime? Do you know there are some of you, you heard a preacher, you heard someone tell you about your sin long time ago, but you didn't listen. It got you into trouble. Listen, we don't concentrate when we listen. And that's going to minimize our growth. It's going to minimize our success. It doesn't matter to me in what arena of life that you would like to grow or succeed. You're not going to grow or succeed if you don't learn to listen. And listening is a key element in this thing called concentration. Number two, in regard to your Christianity, I think we have a hard time concentrating when we pray. When we pray. Matthew 6:7 says, when you pray, use not vain repetition. When you pray, you're just not supposed to be rambling. You know what you're supposed to do? You're to be saying something to God and actually concentrating on what you're saying. That word vain there, it's almost, if you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, they talk about vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's talking about virtually shadow boxing, wasting my time, just repeating things because they look spiritual. You know, no, when you pray, you're supposed to be talking to God. Now, I tell you, when I talk to Mrs. Owens or Mrs. Owens talks to me, and if we're not kind to one another or we're preoccupied and she's talking but my mind is in a tree stand somewhere, hunting the moose of a lifetime, but she's talking, God can look down, or Mrs. Owens can look and be heard. Because, she's talking, and I'm looking, but I'm elsewhere. And we all can do some of that. But let me tell you something. Do you realize we do that with God? Big time. Sometimes when we pray, you go at it, and all you're doing is entertaining yourself. You're not concentrating on God. Now, that doesn't mean that when you go to prayer, you got to grunt and make weird noises and everything. That doesn't convince God that you're concentrating. But God can look into your mind mentally and figure out, is this guy really talking with me, or is he just rambling? Is he self-entertaining? I would say the two biggest reasons why people don't get their prayers answered are these. Number one, because you don't pray. And number two, when you do, you don't lock into God. You just toss words out like letting balloons go into the sky. They're not locked in. They're not defined. They're not definite. And so I think we need to learn to concentrate when we pray. We somehow have a hard time focusing when we pray. And I feel bad for this generation. They're having a harder time focusing than ever. And a lot of that has to do with the quick-moving society. And I'm not against the internet. To me, the internet, it's just like a gun. You give a bad person a gun, they're going to do bad with it. The internet, a bad person gets a hold of it, they can do bad things with it. But it serves a lot of great purposes. But so many things are so fast-moving today, and we can have everything so fast, it's almost like you can't get this society or this generation to slow down. Concentration will cause you to have to slow down a little bit and lock into something. And we need to concentrate. Some people can't focus and pray. The average Christian today, when they go to their prayer time, if they have one, when they go to their prayer time, they can't stay on their knees and pray any length of time. And I don't even mean on your knees. You can't sit in your chair. The average person couldn't pray for 15 minutes straight if they wanted to. Why? They want to check their phone. They want to go get a cup of coffee. They want to see what the weather's doing. They want to watch the television. They're going to check their email. What's missing? Concentration. Concentration. You want to grow in your prayer life, grow your concentration in your prayer life. I'd rather someone pray to God and lock into God for 5 minutes, and I mean really come eyeball to eyeball with the God of the universe and really pray, than to take 20 minutes and ramble and self-entertain and get up and not have really, really thought on God at all for 20 minutes. Wouldn't you be better off with 5 minutes of real prayer than 20 minutes of play church? But it's concentration that's the deal. Next. I don't think we concentrate on our Bible reading. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, it talks about all these things that are pure and honest and a good report. And it says in that verse, think on these things. I'm just recommending, you want to grow as a Christian? Concentrate while you read your Bible. And I almost feel silly saying this to everybody. We read the words, but we don't think the thoughts. I read my Bible. Oh, well, good for you. Do you know that those words are placed together in what we call sentence structure to form thoughts? And God was kind of thinking that maybe, just kind of maybe, possibly, you could put the words together and get the thoughts. Do you concentrate when you're reading your Bible? That is, if you read your Bible. Two biggest problems with Bible reading is, number one, you don't do it. And number two, if you do it, you don't think about it while you're doing it. You're not going to grow as a Christian if you don't concentrate when you pray. You're not going to grow as a Christian if you don't concentrate when you read your Bible. You're not going to grow in your concentration if you can't learn to just focus your all, concentrate, don't dilute your thinking, listen, and lock in. Then, and I have number five here, we don't concentrate when we work. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10, God commands you and I, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. God is saying, put yourself into it. Throw yourself into it. There's way too many people that are preoccupied at work. Do you know what you're supposed to do when you're at work? Work. Work. Yeah, I know that's a little unreasonable, and you know, we need some laws passed to keep you from having to work at work. A lot of low productivity out there. You want to know why people won't concentrate on their work? I'll tell you one big reason why. If I had a company, you wouldn't have this on you in my company. You say, why? You'd be playing with this all day long instead of cutting wood or cranking wrenches. They do it. I mean, let's face it. I'll go into businesses and I'm trying to get somebody to wait on me, and I'm watching the teller over there. But it sounds like a turkey, and I'm thinking, ma'am, I was going to give your boss some money if you could get off the phone long enough to wait on me. She's not concentrating on her job. I've supervised people, I mean, by the thousands through the years. In machine shops, in businesses, in the college arena, in churches. You know the number of mistakes made and the number of parts scrapped because people don't concentrate. You can walk over. You know, the machine's on fire. It's crashed. It's burning. And the employee will say, I don't know what I was thinking. And I'm thinking, I know what you were thinking. Something other than what you were supposed to be thinking. What is it? Just lack of focus? Mental laziness? We don't concentrate when we read our Bibles. We seem to have a hard time concentrating at work. We won't concentrate. We won't force ourselves to listen. We're very poor and weak with our concentration in regard to our prayer life. Let me go on, number six. I think we need to require ourselves to concentrate when we talk. When we talk. You know, Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God said your words ought to be acceptable to God. You say, well, how am I going to know if my words are acceptable to God? You think before you talk. You say, well, what am I going to think about? You think about whether the Bible would want you to say what you're about to say. You say, I ought to go through all that before I talk. I won't talk half as much. Eureka. You learned something. We're getting somewhere. You're going to grow because of it. Folks, why is it we do this? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. How about think, should I say this? And then you say, no, I shouldn't. And then you just don't say it. What is that? Well, it takes concentration. For some of you, public speaking would be good for you. Everything I say is held against me. You got to think. And I'll tell you, most of the time, the things that get me in the biggest trouble are the things that I didn't think about before I said them. I know you won't believe this, but I do practice before I preach. You know, I have notes and I pray about it and I go through it and, you know, I try to make sure what I'm saying is scriptural and it's the right thing to say. But every once in a while I get to thinking, I am such a genius. There shouldn't be any problem with me going out there in right field and just say a bunch of stuff that I'm feeling. And every time I do that, it really costs me. On the ride home from church, Mrs. Owens will say, "You shouldn't have said that. I'll tell you right now. You're going to pay for that, buddy." You know what causes that? Lack of concentration. The average human being would have a hard time swallowing what I'm about to say, but you're not just supposed to say anything that just rolls out of your mouth. You ought to think about what you're going to say. So you say the right thing. So we don't concentrate when we speak. And you say, well, what would cause that? Let me tell you what would cause that. Do not let your emotions determine your speech. You say, well, what should determine my speech? The Bible, right and wrong, and let your principles determine what you say, not your emotions. Well, that's just what I was feeling. I've got news for you. You're not to let your emotions run wild. If we all just did what we were feeling, we'd be a bunch of reprobates, and the people that are in the worst shape in our whole country are the people that just do what they feel. If it feels good, do it. That's not what the Bible says. Matter of fact, some things, if it feels good, you shouldn't do it because it's in the flesh. Concentrate. Think about your words. Folks, once you've spoken the words, you can't take them back. So might I recommend you, if we don't say the wrong thing, we don't have to apologize. Now, we're all going to fail at this. But just concentrate before you talk. Boy, I have been in some really high-level meetings. I've been places where I was nervous being in the meetings. I tried to think through what I was going to say. One thing, I just didn't want to embarrass myself. You say, well, what do you say when you don't know what to say? Nothing. Nothing. Next. I think we need to concentrate, maybe with our ministries. I think the ministry deserves our concentration. Hey, if you're an usher, think about what you're doing. Give me some ushers that are actually thinking about what's going on. Thinking about who has a visitor's card. Thinking about who might need a seat. Thinking about who might need this explanation or that explanation. What do you think about? Hey, Sunday school teacher. You know, Sunday school teachers, you're not to teach a Sunday school class and shoot from the hip. You ought to know what you're going to say, and you ought to say what you planned and plan what you say. Do you know how many, I suppose, cults and false doctrine have been spread all around this world by people that didn't think before they spoke? I really believe this. Focus and succeed. Focus and succeed. Focus and succeed. Next, I don't think we concentrate during the preaching. Now, you're all concentrating pretty well tonight. And I appreciate that. You're giving your all, and I can tell you're concentrating. And right there, you're super. Concentrate. Giving your all to something. Boy, 2 Timothy 4:17 says, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Let me say this. When I preach, I want to concentrate. I really want to throw myself into it. I want to give my all to it. Hey, one reason why I'll say to people, get that cell phone turned off. Now, one, when it goes off, I don't want it to frustrate everybody else, but I don't want it to frustrate me. You say why? I have a purpose in mind. You know something? I want to leave here tonight and for some people to leave here saying, you know, I need to work on my concentration. I'll improve my entire life if I'll work on my concentration. We have the blinds shut over here because we don't want you looking at the cars driving on Trent Road because we want you to concentrate. I remember the night that we were having a flashing of that light right there because we were having a flicker of the light and the fan wanted to go off and on. And I'm thinking, this is terrible. I can't get them to concentrate because they're watching the fan. Brother Jack Edwards and I, we hunted down a wasp last Sunday before the service and killed it. You say, why? Well, we're the great white hunters, number one. But number two, I have watched one fly or one bug destroy an entire preaching service. You say, how? You just let that bug start flying around. Everybody's watching that bug fly around. You're trying to preach fire down from the sky, and you're trying to have an Elijah meeting or something, and there's a mosquito in the church that can take everybody's concentration off the preaching. But I want to concentrate when I'm preaching. I want to stay on the subject. Now, I'm not against some preacher that gets off on rabbit trails all the time. I don't do a lot of that. I stay after my purpose. I stay focused on my purpose. Now, let me tell you, if the preacher will stay on his purpose, if he'll keep hitting that truth and keep hitting that topic, he's going to get somewhere with his preaching. But you know, there's another part to that. You got to concentrate on what's being said. Look, I don't care if the preacher is the second coming of Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul and Mother Teresa all wrapped into one. I've got news for you. If you won't concentrate, it doesn't matter how good of a speaker he is. People daydream while you preach. They play. Used to be, you'd have teenagers passing notes. Now you have adults checking their cell phone for the stock market and text coming in. But they play. Very casual listeners. Can I tell you all something? There's probably enough preaching and enough hard preaching around here every once in a while. You ought to feel bad about something that's been said. I'm human too, so I ought to feel bad about things that are said too. You know, I hear the same preaching. I got to live the same book that you do. But you know, if you never have any conviction, if you never feel bad about anything, you're probably a pretty casual listener. Either that or you're perfect. I have some respect for people that get a little upset because something hit home with them. Do you know what that means? They were listening! Woohoo! I like it when people listen when I preach. Listen to the preaching. If we concentrated, we probably wouldn't have to hear some of the same things over and over and over again. We're almost done. Number 9. Learn to concentrate on people. Learn to concentrate. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, I love the verse. It says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. You know, God tells us that when we're around people, let's concentrate on people. Folks, I give you some advice, something to make your life happier and more successful. Concentrate on your relationships. Your house is not a hotel. We just don't eat there, bathe there, check in. Concentrate on your relationships. There are people in this room, husbands and wives. You need to start concentrating on your relationship. Parents, concentrate on your relationship with your children. Oh, we're one big happy family. Let me tell you something. You need to concentrate on the individuals in your family. It's very difficult to build a relationship with a family. Great families are made up of individual relationships that form a family. God didn't save you all in a group. He saved you one at a time. He said, and now you're a part of the family, but it was an individual one-on-one. There are dads, you need to concentrate on your relationship with your son or your daughter. There are some moms that need to concentrate on a particular individual relationship with a son or a daughter. There are some children in here. You need to concentrate on your relationship with your dad or your mom or with a grandma or a grandpa. Hey, really, what is life all about? There are people in here, there are ladies, you concentrate more on your sewing than you do people. There are men in here. You concentrate on the thing that you work on more than you concentrate on your relationship with your wife. And I'm for you concentrating on your work. But your work's not more important than your wife or your son or your daughter. There's something I've always tried to do. I've probably failed at it miserably, but I've had a lot of people work for me through the years. When I was running the Bible college that I went to, I had 160 professors and secretaries that worked for me. I had 52 staff members at my last church. I've had a lot of people work for me through the years. There's one thing I've always tried to do, Brother Edwards. I've tried to make sure that the people that worked for me knew I cared more about them than the work that they did for me. I concentrated on that. Do you know the bosses that get the most productivity out of their employees or the bosses that care about the employee? You work yourself to death for a guy that cares about you. What is that? Somebody concentrating on a relationship? Nothing more important in life than our relationship. Two relationships that are big: your relationship with God and your relationship with people. Concentrate on those. Concentrate. I'm almost finished, but let me tell you, I have to work at this. If Mrs. Owens has something to say, and at the moment it doesn't really interest me, I have got to tell myself, slow down. That doesn't seem important to me, but it's important to her. And she's important to me, so then that she needs to say is important to me. We can all do this to people. I'm going to tell you all something. When your sons and daughters come and they try to talk to you, wouldn't hurt for some of you to stop what you're doing, get down on their level, look right square in their eyes and say, go ahead, what do you need? And give them your undivided attention. You say, what is that? It's called concentration. There are husbands and wives in here. If you had to look each other in the eyes and talk and have a meaningful conversation for 2 minutes, you would be half mentally freaked out. To have given your concentration to that person, to that depth, you almost can't do it. We need. I've taught this for years. I think every husband and wife ought to look each other deep in the eyes every day of their life and say, I love you, without saying any words. Look into one another. Just where they can read, I love you. You say, the only time we look like that is when somebody bounces a check and it's... Concentrate with people. This is my last point. I don't think we concentrate. As a result of it, we do not walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:1 says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You only walk in the Spirit if you're concentrating on walking in the Spirit. Let me explain. If you're a younger Christian, when you got saved, you asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. God is a triune God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's a three-part God. One God, three parts, like the egg. You got a shell, a white, and a yolk. It's one egg, but they're independent parts. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you, the Lord moves in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. So you have the Spirit of God living within you. We're to walk daily the way He would want us to walk. We call it walking in the Spirit. Now, the only way you'll walk in the Spirit is if you're concentrating on walking in the Spirit. You got to think about it. You got to say to yourself, you know what? Whatever I do today, I want to do it because it's what the Spirit of God would have me to do. Whatever I say today, I want to say the words that the Holy Spirit would have me say. Whatever I think today, I really want to think what the Holy Spirit would have me to think. Wherever I go today, I want to go where the Holy Spirit would have me to go. Now listen, if you don't have a relationship that's active, if you're not thinking about that, you won't walk in the Spirit. You ever heard someone preach a sermon about walking in the Spirit, and in your heart, you in that sermon, you said, that's it. I got to do that. I got to have it. That's what I want. 10 minutes later, you're gone and you've already forgotten completely about the sermon. Why? It takes concentration to successfully walk in the Spirit. So what do you want me to do? Just think about God all the time? Okay, close your Bibles. We're done. Yes. You're going to have to think about God a lot if you're going to do right. That's why we get into sin. Because we don't concentrate spiritually on what we're doing. Everybody in here, if I were right with you and I said, you're not about to do that, are you? You'd say, why no, preacher. I know better than that. But when you weren't thinking like you should, you'll do it. And then after you've done it, you'll say, what was I thinking? Well, something other than what you were supposed to be thinking. You weren't concentrating spiritually. What is concentration? I think it's giving your all to what you're doing. And I'm not against multitasking. There are some things that can be done that way. But there's a lot of failure because not everybody can even concentrate on one thing at a time, let alone two. Concentrate. Don't dilute your thinking. Succeed at what you're doing. And if you'll do that, you're going to grow. You're going to grow at whatever you do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? If you've not been born again, I welcome you to the Savior tonight. If you're not saved, if you come to the altar call, just get my attention. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Here's a question for those of you that are saved. Could you see yourself succeeding more if you would concentrate more? Has God spoken to your heart tonight with the simple sermon on concentration, growing your concentration? The story that we read at the beginning of the Bible, Jesus stood up, read the Bible, and the Bible said every eye in the place was locked onto him. What were they doing? They were concentrating on Jesus and the Word of God. That produces success. Who here tonight would raise their hand to the sky and say, boy, Lord, that's something I need to work on, my concentration in life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? I just need to work on that. God bless you. You may put your hands down. If you need a moment at the altar, we'll have an altar call. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Some of you children and teenagers, you say, preacher, what's wrong with me at school? You're going to have to work on your concentration. That's part of it. And I've got news for you, young people. You're not going to concentrate at school and on your schoolwork like you ought to if you've got the television on, if you're playing with your telephone, if you've got a radio on or a CD playing. You're going to have a hard time. You better get yourself in a mental state where you can concentrate. There are people in this room. Tomorrow you face a big task at work and it's worrying you a little bit. What's tomorrow going to be like? You know what? If you'll go into it and you'll really lock in and you'll concentrate, put the mental thought into it. Challenge your thinking. Apply yourself mentally. Get some pure mental focus. Give exclusive attention to it. Aim your mind at the target and hit the bullseye. Direct your mental energy. Develop your mental character. Concentrate. Don't dilute your thinking. This is the last time through the song, and then we'll quickly find out what the prayer requests are for this evening, and you'll be on your way. That's good. Go ahead and have a seat.